From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Cairns is continuing his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament, currently dealing with 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in a single message. 1st John forms the last of the general epistles. 2nd and 3rd John are short letters which serve to illustrate the main argument of that first epistle, although they each have their own particular emphasis. 1 John is mainly concerned with tests of true Christianity and ways that believers in Christ may be assured of their salvation. True Christians have fellowship with God in Christ, a fellowship which reveals the believer and God have something in common. As we'll see, both are satisfied with Christ. The Savior and his people are graciously united, sharing in his merits. In addition, true believers have the Holy Spirit abiding in them, teaching and guiding them. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly to continue a message entitled, Christian Profession Tested and Proved. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Rules for Prosperity. The text is Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Yes, the Lord will be with us in our holy war, but he demands of us that we strictly follow his rules. Our victories will very much depend upon our obeying him with all our heart, throwing strength and courage into the actions of our faith. If we are half-hearted, we cannot expect more than half a blessing. We must obey the Lord with care and thoughtfulness. Observe to do is the phrase used, and it is full of meaning. This is referred to every part of the divine will. We must obey with universal readiness. Our rule of conduct is according to all the law. We may not pick and choose, but we must take the Lord's commands as they come, one and all. In all this, we must go on with exactness and constancy. Ours is to be a straightforward course, which bends neither to the right nor to the left. We are not to err by being more rigid than the law, nor turn out of levity to a more free and easy way. With such obedience, there will come spiritual prosperity. O Lord, help us to see if it be not even so. We shall not test thy promise in vain.
Turn my weakness into precious Holy Spirit, come, fill me anew. Give me wisdom, save me strength, grant that I may be a mirror of your never-ending love. Lord, here am I, send me, I pray.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
This is John's message. We share in his life. The very name given to Jesus Christ in verse 2 is eternal life. What do we have from him? We have eternal life. Peter puts it that we are made partakers of the divine nature. We are not made into God, but we have communicated to us by our God the life that is in Christ Jesus. We share in his light and we share in his love. So on the basis of what we have from him, what we share, we have fellowship with God. Now notice very carefully how this whole thing is framed in 1 John. This fellowship is established by God's action, not ours. It's very important that we understand that. You see, the religions of men all agree, however much they disagree in point of detail, they all agree in one thing, of man seeking to establish a participation with or in the infinite by means of what he is or by means of what he does. Every false religion ultimately betrays itself in this, that it leaves the onus upon man to establish that fellowship, that relationship with God. And it doesn't matter whether you're dealing with the false religion of pantheism or a false monotheism. Ultimately, it comes down to man and his ability, his activity to establish fellowship with God. But the gospel is altogether different. The gospel says this fellowship is on account of God's action. It's established by what God does, not because of what we have done. In chapter 4 of this epistle, verse 9 and 10, we read, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." In verse 19, John puts it, we love him. We now love him, that is, because he first loved us. You can never enter into fellowship with God on the basis of what you do. You can never obtain a saving relationship with God on the basis of any morality or any religion that you can claim the responsibility for, or you can take the credit for. This is not the way of salvation. The world says, do this and live. God says, do it and die. The Bible is the message of life. Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ is the propitiation for our sins. God initiated this whole work. He sent his Son. His Son paid the price of our redemption. His Son expiated our guilt by the shedding of his blood upon the cross. There is nothing for a sinner to do to be saved. Jesus Christ has done it all. Our salvation does not, we do not obtain it by doing, but by resting. We do not achieve fellowship with God by activity. We achieve fellowship with God by resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is established by God. The call of the gospel, therefore, to the sinner who is struggling in his sin, whose conscience is stirred up to witness against him, and he's going on downward to a lost eternity, the call of the gospel is to come to Jesus Christ, to abandon hope in all of the flesh, and to embrace Christ as he's freely offered in the gospel. Come by faith to Christ, and you'll be saved. You'll enter into fellowship with God because it's established by God's action, not ours. I say we have fellowship with God on the basis of something in common. I think I can put that very bluntly by saying both God and the believer are satisfied with Christ. There's a beautiful picture of this in the peace offering in the Old Testament, where part was burnt on the altar. And there you have that burnt offering, that ascending savor going up, and God is satisfied. But the offerer also eats, and he is satisfied. You have God and man satisfied with the same sacrifice. God's wrath has been satisfied. God's justice has been satisfied. God's holiness has been satisfied. And our need has been satisfied. God says, I need no more than Jesus Christ to render me propitious. Now understand me. I'm not saying to enable me to love. God is love. But God is also holy. God says, I need nothing more than the blood of Jesus Christ to render me propitious. In other words, to enable me to put away the guilt of sin, to be just and yet justify the ungodly believer in Christ. I need nothing more than the blood of Jesus Christ. And I come as a poor sinner. And I can say, I need nothing more than the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty, are my glorious dress. I need nothing more than Jesus Christ. God and the believer meet around the altar of Christ crucified. We have fellowship. We have fellowship with Christ because he and we are graciously united so that we share in his merits. John puts it beautifully in chapter 4, verse 17, the very last line of the verse. As he is, so are we in this world. That's one of the deepest and greatest statements in the Bible. It's really covering the same ground as Ephesians 1, verse 6. We are accepted in the Beloved as Jesus is. That's how God says we are, even while we're in this world. We're in this world today with all our faults and with all our feelings, with all our trials and all our temptations. But thank God, as he looks at us, he sees us in Christ, invested with all the merit of his dear Son. We are vitally and graciously united to Christ so that we share in his merits. We have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. I've said in his life, because God's seed remains in us, chapter 3, verse 9 tells us. His life remains within us. And his Holy Spirit abides within us. Here's our fellowship with God, established by God's action, procured by the merits of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, with whom we are in living and gracious union, so that we are justified freely by his grace. His life remains within us and cannot depart from us. And his Holy Spirit abides constantly within, teaching and leading and guiding, nurturing the fellowship that we have with God in Christ. See what chapter 2, verse 20 says. Ye have an unction from the Holy One. It has been said by some who ought to know, the basis of their great scholarship, that the chrism, the unction, the anointing, is not so much emphasizing the act of anointing as that with which we are anointed. In other words, it is speaking of the Holy Spirit. You have an unction, you have an anointing from the Holy One. He repeats this in verse 27. Do you notice what he says? As the result of that anointing, ye know all things. Now, I know that there are some people who think they know all things. Most of us, sometime or another, have felt that both our mothers and our wives knew everything. That's not what the promise here is. You don't suddenly gain omniscience when you become a Christian. And when later it says you have no need that any man teach you, that's not saying you don't need to go to school. That is not the idea whatsoever. Get it in context. It's always a good thing to get context. You know, context is it's the bane of people who want flashy new things. You can get anything out of the Bible if you divorce it from context. Just the same as you can get anything out of the Greenville News if you divorce it from context. And sometimes even if you put it in context. But context is a wonderful thing. The apostle here is speaking against deceivers who said, we have a higher form of knowledge. On that most inferior document, the Old Testament. That's how they thought of it. Our knowledge is of a much higher variety. And unless you get initiated into our Gnostic ideas, you really aren't going to know very much at all. So they were looking down on ordinary Christians. Now the apostle comes along and says, don't listen to that nonsense, for it is nonsense. You don't need what they are talking about. What they're talking about is a mere deception. What you need is what you have from God. It is the Holy Spirit. He anoints you. And as chapter 4, verse 13 says, God has given of His Spirit, and the Holy Spirit abides within the believer. And because you have the Holy Spirit, you know all things. The all things are the all things of the gospel. You don't need anything beyond the gospel. This is a message, my friend, we would need to have recirculated in our churches today, in the day when people are telling you the gospel's good enough to get saved by, but you need psychology to live by. You need psychology in order to be a good counselor and all this sort of rubbish. You need to become an expert in the schools of worldly philosophy in order to tell God's people how to live. The Holy Ghost says the very opposite. You have an unction of the Holy One. You have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. You don't need anything beyond the gospel. God has taught you everything you need for life, for death, and for eternity. You don't need Christ plus something else. You need Christ. And when God tells you of the incarnation, the virgin birth, the sinless life, the perfect obedience, the atoning death, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, His current intercession, His coming again in glory, our justification by grace through faith, our acceptance with God, our peace with God. When God tells you all these things, my friend, He's telling you, these are the all things. And these are the things that you know. And there is no, understand this, there is no knowledge in the world superior to the knowledge of the gospel. I would to God, God's people would get a grip of that. Sure, there are other things you've got to study. Some of you study accountancy, some of you study languages, some of you have to study computers, some of you have to study engineering. Sure. Those are legitimate fields of study. But let me say, even there, remember there is no knowledge in the world superior to the knowledge of the gospel. Here's our fellowship then, with God in Christ, on the merits of the blood of the Lamb, with His seed and life remaining within us, and His Spirit teaching and guiding and directing.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.